And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 196, and we're coming at you, as we always do, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. We're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, and we're available on iTunes, Stitcher, and your aggregator of choice. And if we're not on the aggregator of your choice, let us know, and we will try to get us there. And not that it's all about the numbers, but it's always a challenge to get new listeners. And of course, getting ourselves on different platforms is one way that we can get new listeners. The more people hear the show, the more feedback we get, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And so that's always important to a podcast, even though I don't worry about the numbers all that much, because it really isn't all about the numbers. Now, speaking of numbers, we do have something coming up for our 200th episode. Don't really know exactly what yet. You know, I'm kind of thinking about it. You know, we have an episode coming up here, a mythology episode, and we're going to, you know, try to cover the eighth day and all that. And we're kind of right at the end of this storyline right now. In fact, this episode here is the last of the storyline that we're covering now with the Enchanters. And so this is going to be kind of a confusing morass of different things over the next few weeks, and coming with an anniversary issue right in the middle of that, the 200th episode, it's going to be a little bit weird. So we'll see what we have going on, and hopefully cover things in a way that makes some kind of sense. And yeah, I'm just trying to make sense of it all. And at the same time, keep up with the schedule and try to get ahead a little bit so that we don't have to have an interruption while I go on vacation at the end of next month. Anyway, so that's kind of what's going on. Don't have a lot else to talk about. Like I said, I'm kind of trying to bang these shows out. And anyway, we do have an issue of Thor to cover. So let's just go ahead and move along with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are looking at the Mighty Thor number 20, otherwise known as issue number 522. And the cover date of this is February of 2000. Retailed for $1.99, $2.99 in Canada, those poor sods. And we have a beautiful cover here by Michael Ryan, who was the artist last issue. Shows Thor standing with his hammer, kind of lightninging around, kind of sparkling. And he's holding up Saranda, who is, I guess she's supposed to be asleep or comatose, at his feet. And he's holding her head in his hand, like if he were to let go, she would just kind of conk it on the sidewalk. And we have ghostly heads floating around Thor. We have Loki's head, and then we have Jake Olsen, Odin, Sif, Jane Foster, and Hannah. And, of course, down the corner, we have the Marvel 60th birthday little logo thing. And we open up to the splash page, where we get a little bit of a little bit of a scene here in the hospital. We have Jane Foster and Demetrius, and a little bit of simultaneous narration, should I say. I'm going to read the narration first, then I'll go through the dialogue. Hate. Raging, consuming, unrelenting hate, beyond all else, dwarfing any misguided notion of love. The most powerful force in all creation is undoubtedly hate. Since the day of Thor's birth, my hate for him hath grown steadily stronger. And now to make my heart beat ever faster, my blood to boil, and my resolve to be rid of him greater. Thus I am driven to ruin him in whatever manner possible. And we have Jane talking to Demetrius.
Thanks for taking time out to meet with me, Demetrius. I mean, I know how busy a police detective must be. Frankly, it's still hard for me to believe you're a cop.
No doubt, Hannah. You know, deep down, I came to like Jake, and hated the fact that I had to bust him. Thought we had the goods on him, too, but seeing him save O'Neill's life, well, it's got me thinking.
Enough to consider him innocent?
Maybe if we could find... No, it can't be. And they see Jake, as we saw at the end of the last issue, holding a pillow over O'Neill's face, trying to suffocate him.
It's Jake suffocating O'Neill.
And you get a breep, breep, breep going on here.
Get a crash cart to 125. We have a potential flatline.
And she goes running off. Doc Foster? Says Demetrius. Out of my way, Doc. Olsen might be armed.
Are you nuts? This must be some kind of mistake.
Not this time, girl. Saw it with my own. And he bursts through the door. And Jake Olsen is gone. And O'Neill's there kind of gasping for breath. And Jane Foster's like,
I want oxygen in here now.
And Demetrius like, that cuts it. I swear, I'll see Jake Olsen doing time. Hard time. And Hannah is just kind of there in the room. And she's like, but... And we see on the roof of the hospital, Jake Olsen, or at least his soul. Remember that Loki went and freed from Mephisto's realm last issue. And we see now that the narration that we had about hate and all that, this is Loki's voice here.
The most effective method of torment must be everlasting. Alas, I have but one ambition that guides my every move. One day, when Odin's bloated corpse is laid to rest for the final time, and Thor is naught but a dismal memory, then shall I sit upon the throne of eternal Asgard. I burn waiting for that day, and so I must hasten the time of its arrival. Thus I have awakened the corpse of the real Jake Olsen, whose life Thor hath taken on in penance for the mortal's death. Such are the deceptive ways of Loki, the trickster.
And we see Loki is there and apparently using green magic bolts to animate the corpse. And we hear, you know, this Loki's narration here, and what he's describing is we're actually seeing on the page.
Even now I can picture ever vigilant Heimdall, attentive as always, guarding the utopia of what one day will be mine. If but a grain of sand is dropped upon Asgard's hallowed ground, he hears it. If the smallest of insects, invisible to all others, maketh a move, he sees it. If the slightest breeze doth blow, he feels it.
And he's obviously feeling something, and, you know, Heimdall's standing here on the Rainbow Bridge, guarding it, as he always does.
Eh? The skies whisper, as though fabled Asgard is approached. Be it foe with evil intent, he hath guaranteed naught but his own doom.
Unfortunately, keen as his senses are, still must he kneel before those he pledges doth allegiance and servitude.
"'Tis thee," says Heimdall.
And it turns out to be Thor and Odin, and they have with them the enchanters, Enract, Magnir, and Brona, except it's not really Enract, it's really Saranda. And we have the credits here. Dan Jurgens is the writer. Michael Ryan was the penciler. Klaus Johnson was the inker. Gregory Wright, the colorist. RS and Comic Crafts, Wes Abbott is the letterer. Tom Brevoort was the editor. Bob Harris is the editor-in-chief. And the name of the story is Empty Vessels. And the five of them pop into existence here on the Rainbow Bridge. And Thor is saying,
"Ease thy concern, valiant one. For thy liege hath returned at last. Let every Asgardian rejoice and sing praise, for not only is omnipotent Odin come home, but he is victorious as well, the threat to the realm vanquished."
"Verily my spirit soar at the sight of thee," says Heimdall, "yet thou art joined by the evil enchanters. Stand aside, and I shall gut them in thy name."
"Sheathe thy sword, obedient one, that we might first hear their tale."
"Ay, Magnir," says Thor, "speakest thou now of thy brother Enract, and why Saranda doth wear his garments?"
"Never," says Magnir.
"Then sharpen thy blade, Heimdall."
And Brona's like,
"I say thee nay. Pray spare my life, and thou shalt know all."
"Loosen thy tongue, and if thy words ring true, mayhap by my grace thou shalt be spared."
"'Tis as Enract said before, almighty one. He is our brother, and he didst pledge to see thee dead for thy role in the demise of our eldest sibling, Forsung."
And Balder and Sif show up on the scene, and Thor's like, "Friend Balder, Lady Sif." And Sif is like, "Who?" And he's looking at this chick. "And Rakt was the youngest of us, unable to attack thee years ago, for his training was incomplete. Verily, over the last few years, and Rakt's rage and thirst for revenge did grow, not only over Forsung's death, but the exile of Magnir and myself. Thus he was consumed with seeking us out. In his quest to win our freedom from the limbo to which we'd been consigned, he did happen across the Odin Sun and a sorceress in a dimension not your own. Sensing vengeance was nigh, he dispatched his astral essence across the gulf, expending every bit of power at his command, until arriving at the Hammer of Thor, as only an enchanter could." And we see that's going on, that he's kind of in this mystical circle, and he's sending out his astral form, a la Doctor Strange, and he's got this green glow, kind of Green Lantern sort of look to it, and he infiltrates Thor's hammer, and he shows him inside the hammer, and there's all these little exploding suns and things in there. "He journeyed inside to become its new master. 'Twas a sojourn of finality, for so far did Sinrakt travel that his physical body, alone and unsustainable, didst expire."
"As I did assume," says Odin.
"Speakest thou of Saranda? The lady perished in mine arms. If thou claimest her an evil ally, thou art but a liar."
And we have another person who's just kind of here, who I don't think was there before. I don't know who this is, but he's saying, "'Tis within my power, since he speaks true." I don't know if that's the vizier. I mean, it's not Balder, right? Is it? I don't know. Is it Balder? I don't know. Anyway. Oh, it's Tarakas. Okay, so it is the vizier. But this actually leads to another question, because Tarakas is with Loki, who's the fake Odin, isn't he? So this is really, really odd, and I'm hoping that this actually resolves somehow.
"That I do, Tarakas. 'Tis as true that the sorceress died fighting alongside the Odin Sun."
And this is, of course, the 1999 Thor annual.
"So was she buried. So was an opportunity born. As Zaranda's own spell didst cause the Thunder God to remember her not, and Rakt split his astral essence, invading the sorceress's corpse, that it might walk once more."
And we see a little bit of the energy jump out of Thor's hammer and go into Saranda's corpse, and she comes back, and she's alive again.
"And Rakt was an enchanter born, a master of the dark arts. Only an enchanter powered by the living talisman could live as two, one in mortal form, and the other inside a weapon infused with Odin's own inferior magic."
"The finer of life," says Thor, "purveyor of evil. For thy crimes and affront to all that is good, I'll see thee drawn and quartered."
And he takes his hammer, smashes Brona across the face with it. He's like, "Ugh." And we have Balder kind of leaping forward to stop him.
"I say thee nay, my prince. Justified as thou art, still must we stay thy hand."
"Still thy tongue, Balder. 'Tis not enough fair for thee to meddle in. Thou art unknowing of Saranda, of the favor she didst grant me in a time of desperate need. She did naught but show me caring and love, and for that her life was taken."
And he kind of pushes Balder aside and points at Saranda's glowing body. And then we cut to Sif, and yeah, the look on her face is like, "Didst thou sayest love?" Ooh, in trouble now. And Odin reaches out to stop Thor's rage here.
"Stay thy rage, son. Matters of justice are not the province of thee, but of the throne. Enchanters, hast thee yet family remaining to rescue thee anew?"
"Nay," says Magnir. "Again, 'tis truth that spills from their tongues."
"Then by the power and judgment that's 'tis mine to wield, I curse thee once more to a place where thou shalt never be found, where thou shalt never harm another, the lost limbo of infinity."
And they go, "Yarg," is he gonna blast them with this white energy, and they're gone. And Sif says,
"Thus is ever the case with the will of the omnipotent. Justice is done."
"Nay," says Thor, "for one so kind, one who did suffer for coming to my side to be rendered as pawn of evil.
Justice is never to be achieved. And he's talking, of course, of Saranda, and she's still here. Her body is still here anyway. And it's kind of floating there in the air. And, yeah, they're all kind of standing there watching it. And Sif comes up to comfort Thor. He says,
Thor, I realize thou art pained, though by thy grace I would have words with thee. Saranda was ensconced in thine heart?
Mayhap, says Thor. Even now my memories of her are like unto dreams.
And the mortal on Midgard, Hannah Fairmount, twixt her and Saranda, is thy love for me intact?
And Thor just hesitates that moment too long, you know. And Baldur's like,
my lord, my life hath taken a turn most complicated. So much hath transpired to live two lives as I do now that...
And the Sif's like, hello.
Oy, that it is, says Odin. Let us repair to the Hall of Feasts, that we may revel in our victory.
And Thor kind of gets down on his knees, and he's like,
first, sire, a favor. Thy power is praised across all creation. I beg thee use it now. Restore Saranda to the living. Grant her life, and thou shalt bask in the never-ending gratitude of Thor. 'Twould please me greatly to grant thy boon, says Odin. Sadly, though, 'tis beyond even my power to do so.
And Taracus comes and says,
come, my lord, 'tis time for thy potion of restoration, for still art thou weak.
Taracus, thou art given to the ways of an old wife. Leadest on, preparest now the chamber of eternal heroes, that we might take the shell that was Saranda, and place her beneath the glass of everlasting honor.
And they are kind of all walking off without Thor and just kind of leaving Saranda in the middle of the Rainbow Bridge. Yeah, Thor's there with her looking all mournful. And we shift scenes and we're back on Earth, and it's Jane Foster and Hannah, and they're talking about Jake Olsen here.
I know the evidence seems conclusive, Hannah, but you must look beyond that. Jake Olsen is innocent. I know it.
I want to believe, but I saw him smothering O'Neill with my own eyes.
How long have you known Jake? Is it possible that
there's some other explanation? Sometimes it's like he's two people from the first day I met him. He swept me off my feet. He was natural. No cheap come-on lines. Just a straight down-to-earth approach. He listened to me, Jane, about me, Amanda, my life.
Amanda, your daughter? You're divorced?
Widowed. Loss and I aren't strangers, Jane. That's why I was such a basket case when I thought Jake died. Amanda and I watched cancer take her father. Now, we're about to have Jake taken from us, too.
You're writing him off?
I don't have a choice. I can't let a murderer into my daughter's life. I'll water his plants, write him a note, and then...
And they're kind of going into the apartment... And Jake is there, interestingly enough. He's like,
hey, babe, what are you doing here?
Jake?
Yeah, as an Olsen. You know, man of your dreams, world champion bowler and pizza judge.
But every cop in New York wants to nail you.
Oh, my.
It's all a simple misunderstanding, hon. Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry? Jake, I saw you trying to kill a police officer.
What? Hannah, it's a mistake. You gotta believe me.
I want to, but...
Hey, come here. Trust me. And he reaches out and gives her a big smooch.
And Jane is like,
wait, something about this seems...
And all of a sudden there's a big gust of wind coming up and, you know, it's got leaves and paper kind of whirling around.
That wind must be a storm coming up.
But the windows are closed, says Jake.
Wind? No, that's not wind. It's...
And Thor appears in the middle of Jake Olsen's living room. And he's like,
by the bristling beard of Odin, what manner of trickery is this?
And he's standing there in front of Jake.
Thor?
Run, Jake, says Hannah. I won't let the Avengers take you in.
Jake Olsen, says Thor. 'Tis most passing strange indeed.
I'm out of here,
says Jake, and he starts running away.
He's innocent. Leave him alone.
By Odin's throne, says Thor, 'tis answers I want, and 'tis answers I shall have.
And Thor goes taking off after Jake and leaving Jane and Hannah behind. And
We next see a rooftop scene. You got Jake on the roof, and Loki is there. And he casts some sort of magic spell. Big poof of green smoke, and the two of them are gone. And Loki's inner dialogue here.
Odin's throne. One day 'twill be mine. Until then, the game goeth on with no rules, save Loki's.
And we then shift scenes here to another very far distant place. And we have Orichal. You remember Orichal was sort of the guy who sits in the big fiery pit and announces things. He has a visitor, and that visitor is none other than Ulik the Troll. And the two of them are speaking here.
Thou didst request an audience with Ulik? Speak, Orichal, or ne'er hath I seen such fear reflected in thy grim visage.
Which is weird because he wears this whole face armor thing that looks like it would never change its expression.
As it must be, for he is near.
Nay, Vizier, I am here.
And Ulik is like, something. Somebody reaches out, strikes Ulik down, and whoever this is a big purple arm. And Orichal is like getting pushed back here.
I knew thee to be guardian of the futures, but ne'er did I suspect thee to be the guardian of the Chalice of Ruins until today.
Thou canst not hope to.
Silence! My master demands the chalice, even though I must tear it from thy being.
And this big purple arm reaches into Orichal's chest, and you get a big surge of purple Kirby crackle. And we then turn the page. We have a full page spread here, or a full page image here. And it turns out to be Mangog. Remember Mangog? Ooh. And he rips the chalice out of Orichal's chest, and he says, 'Tis the chalice Mangog shall have. And Orichal's like, yarg! And he's just kind of exploding with purple Kirby crackle. And so he ripped the cup out of his chest. And Mangog holds it up and he's like,
Master, the chalice of ruins! 'Tis ours at last! I humbly present it to thee!
And a voice from off panel is like,
My thanks, Mangog. 'Tis written, drink from the chalice of ruins but a single tear of the designate, and the power of all-prevailing death is yours forevermore.
What cometh next, masters? Says Mangog.
We must find the designate, Mangog, and then Armageddon is ours.
And they see a purple hand holding the cup here. And that is Thor number 20, a.k.a. Thor number 522. And we do have a few things to say about this issue right after this message.
Star Trek. Comic books. Mythology. Video games. Toys. Star Wars. Just about any geeky topic you can think of could be covered on the Hammer Podcast, presented by two true freaks. Come join me, Gene Hendricks, for whatever my disjointed mental processes can come up with, and be careful, or you might just learn something before we're done. The Hammer Podcast is available monthly, both on its own iTunes feed and at twotruefreaks.com.
And we're back. So, yeah, so this is the end of the Enchantress story, as it were, and it just kind of whimpered to a close, didn't it? It didn't really go out with a bang. We had this big reveal that Interact was actually Saranda, or at least Saranda's dead body. And then it just kind of ends, doesn't it? And now, some of the plot threads of this are going to carry on a little bit later, But this is kind of as far as we're going to go in Thor Volume 2 for now. We'll come back to it, obviously, and it won't be like 2 years next time, I promise. I think it was just over a year before we came back to it. No, we'll try to come back a little bit more off. And I guess what I need to do is cover fewer eras and cover them, more of the era once maybe. And, eventually we'll get to everything. It just seems like it's taking forever because, there's so much material to cover. Like I said, artwork by Michael Ryan, again, it's the same guy as last issue. It's not a real dynamic issue as far as it goes, because a lot of this is just people sitting around talking. I mean, other than this little action beat at the end here where he's ripping the chalice out of Orichal's chest, really, it's just people standing around. I mean, there's really not a lot going on other than that. But yeah, it's a pretty solid art. I mean, again, he has a much cleaner style than J.R. Jr. It's not really a comparable style, I guess you could say. But it works on its own. I don't like the way he draws Ulic, and I'm not really crazy about the way he draws Mangog. He definitely has the the later version of Mangog, so the much more human-looking Mangog with the much smaller head and this huge chest. I mean, that seems to be the way that this guy draws everyone, and kind of this big, huge chest and a little teeny head. And I don't think that works for Mangog. Like I said, I really like the way that he was originally portrayed by Kirby, where he's basically this huge, enormous head with a body attached, and it looks like he's going to topple over on his face at any moment. I think that's the way the Mangog looks the best. And I can tell you, because I've peeked a couple issues ahead, I can tell you that J.R. Jr. draws him in a way I like a lot more. Anyway, so eventually we'll be getting to that storyline, but as it is, this is the last that we'll be covering of this for a while. Now, next week we'll be covering Thor number 17, I believe it is, which is the first part of the Eighth Day, and we'll kind of go through those issues. I don't know if we're going to do a full synopsis of each issue or do more like what we used to do on this show, which is more a summary of what's going on and we don't act out everything. But I think it's interesting enough that we should at least look at the issues and kind of figure out what's going on in them. And I think that's what we're going to do next time. And with that, I think we're really just about done for this week. Thanks once again, folks, very much for listening. Again, if you want to email the show, the email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just look for us there and you will find us. And with that, I am whirling my hammer around, making my Ajax White Tornado, and we'll see you next time on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.